5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show on this Football Friday here at 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, live from the Auction Community Studios. Sunday morning, 10 a.m., the Arizona Cardinals season, after a lot of talk, a lot of expectations, a lot of hopes, and a lot of pressure, I think, for certain members of the organization going into this season. It's time to see what actually we have with the 2021 Cards and whether it's going to be good enough to end a playoff drought that has lasted over a half decade right now. And as we talk about this team, it's so easy. And I'll be honest, I fell into this trap a couple days ago with our Twitter poll question. It's so easy to look at players at flashier positions, Gambo. Guys like J.J. Watt, he's certainly one of the defensive player of the year, one of the best players in the NFL the last 20 years or so. To look at him, to look at A.J. Green, to look at the rookie Rondale Moore, to even look at a guy like Zaven Collins and kind of wonder about what they're going to bring. I don't know why. Actually, I think I do know why. But it's easy to forget about a guy like Rodney Hudson. And that is probably, I know, that's a mistake when you're talking about the 2021 Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, because, you know, if you talk about a wide receiver, it's easy to look at five catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. If you look at a linebacker, it's easy to look at 10 tackles and one sack and, you know, two quarterback hits. And, like, there's a lot of things that you could look at. When it comes to the center, there is no really stat. It's like you didn't allow a sack, but it's a team, an offensive line is a team, a group of guys working together to protect the quarterback and open up, you know, running holes and, you know, get downfield and block, you know, on screens and stuff like that. There's just a lot to do. But when, you know, when we did our poll yesterday and we did not mention Rodney Hudson, I had a player immediately text me and say, hey, Rodney Hudson's your answer.
Yeah. The poll was which newcomer to the Cardinals is going to impact the bottom line the most in terms of wins and losses. And the four guys we mentioned were the four guys in the poll, A.J. Green, J.J. Watt, Rondale Moore, and Zaven Collins. And this player, this anonymous player, we won't say who it was, sent you a text and said, the answer is none of the above. It's Rodney Hudson.
Right.
And D.J. Humphreys today, the Cardinals starting left tackle, man, he just went on and on about the difference Rodney Hudson is going to make.
Adding Rodney Hudson definitely helps. I mean, I feel like that any line gets better when you add a guy like that. Just so with his savvy and his play alone, you know what I mean? It's a lot of times that he gets us out of stuff and into stuff that makes my head spin. And I tell him all the time, like, bro, I just block the end, bro. You tell me what to do, and I'm going to block the end until you tell me different. You know what I mean? That's how I try to keep it simple for myself. But having him around here has definitely helped, even involved me on my mental side of kind of understanding what's going on, because he knows how to communicate so well, and the language that I understand, it's easier for him to break down stuff for me like that. And it helps me play a little faster, because I can see a lot of stuff that I hadn't paid attention to before that would have helped me a lot pre-snap.
But you're so right, because there's no, like, corresponding stat associated with being a center in the NFL. Nobody's getting all jacked up about a Pro Football Focus grade, right? I mean, nobody looks at that and goes, ooh, he's got a PFF of 92 points, and nobody cares about that. So at least nobody cares about it in the sense that you get excited about a guy because of it. But then we watch the game on Sunday, and what we're going to be looking for are, he's not letting anybody in through the interior of the line. He's not false starting. He's not, you know, the kind of penalty, the kind of drive-killing penalties that plagued this team all last year. That's what we're going to be watching for on Sunday, hoping that none of those happen, because you've got one of the best centers in the league who's handing the ball off to Kyler Murray.
No, last year they had Mason Cole, and Mason Cole was terrible. I mean, it was, you know, when they had A.Q. Shipley the year before, and that was good. But, you know, Mason Cole is just wasn't very good. So, you know, he's in Minnesota right now. I believe he's in Minnesota.
Yeah,
Mason
didn't they
Cole.
Convert him to guard, I think?
Did they do that?
I don't even think he's a center.
You got me? I don't even know. I haven't been paying attention to him.
I think they were going to convert him to guard. I don't know how it went, but I thought they were going to, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, if that's what they did, fine. Because he was not a good center. I mean, he was just not a good center. So what you did is you went from being one of the worst in the league at something to being one of the best in the league at something at one position. From being one of the worst to the best. I don't know that there is a position that any NFL team has where they've gotten better at that than what the Cardinals did. You had the worst center in the league, and now you've got one of the top two or three best centers in the league. That's a big win. Now, how much will it pay dividends on the field? I mean, in so many ways. The other thing is Kyler. You know, you've got a guy that could check and help you and help you identify where the Mike linebacker is and tell you what he's seeing from all his years of experience and then protect you up that middle? I mean, it's going to go a long way. I mean, DJ Humphreys is a leader on this team. And he's sitting there saying, hey, whatever that guy tells me to do, I'll do.
Yeah.
Because of the respect factor he has for Rodney Hudson.
Yeah, here's we had Steve Keim on the show earlier today, and kind of what you were saying a second ago, man, we just knew we had to upgrade that position.
He's got sort of a low-key personality. But make no mistake, this guy is an absolute animal in the field. Really physical inside. You know, the one thing about Kyler, when we look at his history as a quarterback, and for the most part, most quarterbacks, when you start getting leaky pressure, A-gap pressure up the middle of the field, you know, those quarterbacks can struggle. You know, makes them obviously jump out of the pocket, not stay within the pocket. You know, it affects their reads and all those different things. So we felt like it was necessary for us to improve inside and get more stout in that area. And once Rodney Hudson became available, you know, obviously jumped on the opportunity with Mike Mayock and made that trade.
I still remember those conversations back during free agency. Corey Linsley was the guy. He was the one.
He was the target.
He was the target because they needed to improve it. We were all on. And when he went to the Chargers, you could feel this collective sense of, oh, crap, now what are they going to do? And almost like it was supposed to be, almost like it was meant to happen within hours, maybe even minutes after it was reported Linsley was going to the LA Chargers, all of a sudden it was, oh, by the way, the Raiders are going to cut Rodney Hudson. What? They're going to
cut him.
Yeah, cut him, not trade him.
And then the Cardinals were going to jump all over that, right? But then when the Raiders realized how stupid that was, they pulled it back. And then the only concern was Kansas City. There was a major concern that he could have went back to the Chiefs. So that's what they were worried about. But they ended up getting him, and that was a big deal. And they weren't going to, like, that was such a priority for them to upgrade that position. But he became their top priority once they didn't get Corey Linsley.
Yeah. You can text us your thoughts on the Cardinals as they are just a couple days away now from their season opening game against the Tennessee Titans. The FanDuel text line, it is there and available to you at all times. You can text us at 620-620. And while we're on the air with Burns and Gambo, we'll read the best ones on the air if we get a chance. When we come back, it's considered to be the best division in the league, and there are still plenty of storylines to keep an eye on for the NFC West in Week 1, and we'll keep an eye on it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. We joked the other day here on the Burns and Gambo Show, and it's really not that much of a joke, actually. It's probably closer to the truth than we care to admit. That we've kind of already mapped out the show for Monday. We pretty much know exactly how it's going to go. In segment one, we're going to talk about our general thoughts from the game. In segment two, we're going to talk about how Kyler did. In segment three, we're going to talk about how the rookies did, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of those segments, what do you think, Gambo? Probably like 3:45. We'll take a look around the NFC West and see how the Seahawks, Rams, and Niners did. Okay, good. That's just one more minute I can spend at home and not come in here for the pre-show meeting. You know, okay, good. 3:45. We're going to talk about what's going on in the NFC West.
Yeah, it's every week because this division is just so damn tough. Every week because this division is so tough. You know, you're going to look for some reason to be optimistic that the Cardinals are better than some of these teams. I initially think that the best team in this division is the Rams. I'm going with the Rams. I think they win the division. I think their defense is loaded. I think they've got an upgraded quarterback. I really question the depth because I know they got a lot of guys on the cheap because they spent so much money on their top-end guys that they're very top-heavy. So I do question their depth. I think the Cardinals can come in second. I think they could be better than the 49ers. The 49ers quarterback play is Garoppolo for how long? Until they go to Trey Lance? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Seattle, I think, takes a big step back. I don't think they win 12 games or 10 games. I think this is it for Seattle. I think their offensive line is no good. I think their defense is no good. And they got talent. Like, they're not going to win 5 games. But I think Seattle will be in last place. So I think the Cardinals are either second or third behind the Rams in this division.
You said something earlier in the show, and I've kind of been chewing on it mentally ever since. If you look at the NFC and you say, okay, sure things. I mean, like, sure things. Packers, the Buccaneers, and the Rams, where you go, okay, I just know for sure they're going to be really, really good.
Yes.
And I agree that those are the three. Now, others might put the 49ers in that group, and other than quarterback, I probably would too, but because they're so uncertain at quarterback, I don't know. Seattle is the most interesting case on the board because, man, every single year they're 9 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins. Last year, they won the division. People tend to forget that, but they were the division winners in the NFC West. And for the last 10 years, you can write them down for double-digit wins. But this year, it feels like a real different vibe in Seattle. Like, that's just not going to cut it anymore in Seattle. A 10-win, 11-win season where you get bounced in the first round, that is not going to satisfy anybody with that organization or in that fan base anymore. So what does the pressure of that kind of do to them moving forward? And to your point, eventually they're going to be bad. I mean, I know it hasn't happened in 10 years, but eventually they're going to have a season that goes below expectations, and maybe this is the year. As far as the schedule goes, Seattle is in Indianapolis taking on the Colts. That's a 10 a.m. game, just like the Cardinals-Titans game is. The Niners are at the Lions. That's also a 10 a.m. game here, Arizona time. And then the Sunday night football game is the Bears taking on the L.A. Rams. So in terms of our ability to kind of gauge what's going on around with those three teams, I would think because they're on the road and the Colts could be good, other than the Cardinals playing the Titans, Seattle probably has the toughest test this weekend of the other three, I would think. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think the Colts are going to be really good. So I think when you look at the Colts, I think they're going to have a top five defense. I think they're going to have a really good defense. Now, there's question marks with Carson Wentz and a little bit on the offense for sure. We don't know what to expect, but the defense is going to be really, really good. Their GM, Chris Ballard, did a great job putting the defense together. I mean, you've got Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner. They added Quiddy Pay in the draft, who was killing people this year. So they're solid. I think that their defense is going to be really good. Now, I don't think that the Bears can do anything. They were in the playoffs last year, but I don't think they can do anything to win this week against the Rams. But I do think the Colts should have a chance to win. Matter of fact, I would even predict that the Colts do win that game.
Yeah, the Colts are actually home underdogs against Seattle, which is a little bit of a surprise to see. But the Colts are kind of dealing with their own injury issues across the offensive line. Of course, Carson Wentz, there was a fear that he wasn't even going to be ready for this game. I think you're talking about Seahawks, Colts. The biggest thing that I'm going to be watching at this game is Seattle's offense, because there was just so much talk in the offseason about what it should be, what Pete Carroll wants it to be, what Russell Wilson wants it to be, what does the new offensive coordinator want it to be, and now we finally get to see what it actually is. Is it still that Pete Carroll run-first offense that Wilson thinks that he's kind of above now, or is it more geared towards Russell Wilson, you know, putting up big numbers every single week? We'll start to find out on Sunday against the Colts.
Yeah, I'm not buying Seattle at all. I think the Colts will win that game. But I think every week we look at the 49ers and we say, okay, you know, can the 49ers? But now the Lions, you know, that's a team to me that, you know, their coach is talking a really big game. He's come in and they've changed everything, right? Everybody's out in Detroit. So, but I don't know with Jared Goff what to expect from them. I'm not a Jared Goff guy, or as far as a fan's concerned. But the Lions, like, I wouldn't give them much of a chance. I think they're going to be a bad team. I think you even said last week, like, that's definitely one of the worst teams in the league.
I think it's one of the worst teams in the league. I think the Lions are going to win 4 or 5 games.
Well, because they're rebuilt. They got 24 new players. Yeah. I mean, you got a 53-man roster. 24 of those guys are brand new. I mean, it's a new regime, new GM, new head coach. You know, their quarterback's gone. They've got a new quarterback. So their roster's a complete, you know, turnover. Now, again, like I said, their coach talks a really big game, but we'll see. You know, I mean, outside of TJ Hockenson, I don't really know what they've got. So it'll be interesting to watch them play. But I don't think that Detroit's going to win many games this year either. Yeah. So I think this week, you know, if you're looking for, you know, who can struggle out of the NFC West, I think the only one I see possibly struggling is Seattle against Indy.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in the Bears either. They're taking on the Rams on Sunday night, and I agree with you wholeheartedly about the Rams. I think they're one of the three elite teams in the NFC, but if they suffer even one injury to one of their top five guys, man, there's going to be such a drop-off for them, because that's just how they've built that team. If they stay healthy, and that's the big if for just about every team in the NFL, really, but if they stay healthy, the Rams look like they should be really, really good. And the Bears, I think For the Bears, it's just a big ticking clock waiting for Justin Fields to be the starting quarterback. Is it week two? Is it week four? Is it week six? I mean, at what point are they going to say, yeah, never mind, Andy Dalton wasn't the guy, it's the Justin Fields? Because it's going to happen at some point. Back for the Niners and the Lions, that'll be the interesting thing to watch with them, too. Kind of the same situation. How long is it Jimmy Garoppolo? How many games do they win with him at the quarterback? And at what point are they comfortable switching full-time to Trey Lance? Is it week 5? Is it week 8? Is it week 10? Is it week 12? Nobody knows. And that, to me, is a hard burden for a Super Bowl contending team to bear. It's very unusual to see a team like that have a quarterback situation like that and still be expected to go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, listen, you know, the rest of the team is really good. I mean, their defense is stacked and loaded. So if the quarterback, if it works out, right, if the quarterback play works out for them, however they're going to go do it, then they've got the potential to be a team that competes for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the quarterback thing. Man, listen, Garoppolo, when he plays, isn't bad. The problem is he gets hurt a lot. I mean, he's missed so many games because of injuries. And, you know, the kid you've got coming in, Trey Lance, whenever he plays, he hasn't played a whole lot. He played one game last year. So their running game is pretty good. Their wide receivers are okay. I don't love their wide receivers. I think they're good. I do like Brandon Ayuk a whole lot. I thought he was great last year. Now, as far as the defense is concerned, they can play with anybody defensively.
Yeah.
Anybody defensively. So the real question with them really is just how good is their quarterback play?
A couple of good games this week. Browns, Chiefs, Sunday afternoon. Really good game.
A lot of
game.
People like the Browns in that one.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Dolphins, Patriots. Really interesting game to watch on Sunday afternoon. Steelers, Bills on Sunday morning. Same time as the Cardinals game. That's going to be one certainly to watch. They're week one. Packers, Saints, that's, you know, Jameis Winston, the Saints for the first time in forever. Drew Brees is not their quarterback. It's going to be Jameis Winston. How that goes in a neutral site location. It's Jacksonville because of Hurricane Ida and what it did to the New Orleans area. That's going to be a lot of week one interesting storylines to keep an eye on. When we come back, of course, the one we're going to keep the biggest eye on is the Arizona Cardinals, and their cornerback position will be watched very closely as everyone tries to figure out what they have. But one of the guys who will be in the mix, he's looking at the Titans game as an opportunity to prove himself to you and to his teammates. And we'll tell you about him next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cardinals-Titans on Sunday.
Let's go!
Let's go!
Let's go!
Let's do this thing. Man. Didn't it seem like the season opener got on us in a big hurry, didn't it? I mean, like, I don't know, maybe it's because it was the shorter preseason. Maybe it's because I was gone on vacation for a week in the middle of August. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that might do it. It
probably, selfishly, it might have something to do with the fact that I was in Montana this time a week ago. But it does seem like, man, we got here in a big hurry. So, which is good. Let's go. Let's do this thing. Let's find out what we have. And especially for me, and I think you feel similar, let's find out what's going on with that Cardinals secondary. Because that, with the surprise retirement of Malcolm Butler, we asked Steve Keim about that earlier today. It's the secondary is going to have a lot of attention on it. And a guy that we're probably not talking a lot about when it comes to that secondary is Robert Alford, who for the first time in his career as a Cardinal gets to be an Arizona Cardinal. We've waited for this day for 2 years now. And for him, it means a lot just to be healthy for week one.
It means everything. I've been hurt the past 2 years. So just to get through camp and get to week one was major for me. And it's a blessing at the end of the day. And I'm ready to roll
on
Sunday.
He wants to show the world why he was brought to Arizona.
I'm confident in my play that I'm going to play great at the end of the day. If nobody else, I expect the best of myself, and I'm going to go out there, I'm going to execute, I'm going to show the world the reasoning and why they brought me to Arizona.
Makes it real hard to assess what they have at the corner spot because we haven't seen him play in 2 years.
But here's the thing. Out of all of the question mark guys, I mean, if anybody is more of a sure thing, it's probably him. I mean, Robert Alford, he's not like Derek. Zaven Collins is a question mark, and so is Rondale Moore, and Isaiah Simmons is a question mark. But, you know, Robert Alford's been in this league for a long time. I mean, he's played 88 games in his career, all of them with the Falcons. And now he's 32 years old. Like, if you know, if I told you, hey, the Cardinals signed a 32-year-old cornerback, that's a concern, but he hasn't played in 2 years, so he's probably a little bit fresher than some of the average guys that are 30, 31, 32 years old. But this is a player who, you know, has a lot of experience under his belt. If he goes out there and plays at a high level, I don't think we should be surprised.
No, it's just a different kind of question mark. You know, it's the question mark of, let's call it like it is. It's the can he stay healthy question mark. And there was, for the longest time there, I mean, after year one, he doesn't play a down for the Cardinals because he's hurt in preseason. Year two, same thing, doesn't play a down for the Cardinals because he's hurt in preseason. I think it's fair to wonder about, and it's not his fault, but his ability to be able to stay healthy. Yeah. When he's out there, when he's healthy, okay, fine. I think he'll be okay when he's out there. It's just a question of, is that 2 weeks? Is that 5 weeks? Is it 8 weeks? Is it 17 weeks? We just don't know. But you're right. His question mark is not based in ability. His question mark is based in availability, right? That's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, because he's been a good player. Like when they signed him, they signed a good player. But, you know, what is he 2 years later? I still think he's a good football player. So, and I think the age thing's a little bit different on him because of the lack of wear and tear for 2 years that he hasn't played. So I think if any of the, you know, with all the question marks they have, if somebody's going to play well, I think it's going to be him.
Yeah.
Remember, they brought him back for nothing, right? He felt like he owed the Cardinals something.
Oh, well, he didn't have any choice.
He came back for nothing.
He didn't have any choice. You go 2 years and you don't play because you're hurt both years. There's not going to be teams lined up around the block for your services. So it's either go somewhere else and take a next to nothing contract to prove yourself, or stay here and take a next to nothing contract to prove yourself. So, yeah, they got him for a song in the offseason. And if he can give them 17 durable games, then that changes everything. As far as the room itself, all of the corners and all of the questions, whether it's Marco Wilson, whether it's Alford, whether it's Byron Murphy Jr., et cetera, Robert Alford said that he's not worried about the chatter.
You're always going to hear the chatter, but at the end of the day, we're confident in the group that we have here. The coaches put together a great game plan for this upcoming Sunday, and all we got to do is go out there and execute and let the chatter be the chatter. At the end of the day, we the ones that's going out there, and we the ones that's going out there playing.
There's not a position group I'm going to be watching more closely on Sunday morning than those corners. I mean, just...
No, you know what? And I'm not a big pro football focus stat guy, but there is one stat. I want to see how many times those guys get targeted. Each one.
Yep.
How many times does Marco Wilson get targeted? Robert Alford get targeted? I mean, the last time I remember Robert Alford, he had an interception against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Like it's like, that's what I remember. I remember he had an interception against Tom Brady
ago,
in the Super
right?
Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but how many times does he get targeted? How many times they target? I want to see, do you spread it out or do you attack one guy a lot more than the other? Is it equal distribution or do you attack one of those guys more than you attack any of the others?
Yeah, because we're talking about the corners, I'm going to go back in time a little bit and play this soundbite from our interview with Steve Keim today, general manager of the Cardinals. He's now part of our lineup every Friday. We get to talk with Steve Keim every Friday at 3 o'clock. And his comments about Marco Wilson, the rookie corner, getting a lot of play locally and nationally. Here's Steve Keim on, and it was these comments right here that I'm about to play for you. Here's Steve Keim, since we're talking about the corners, on Marco Wilson and maybe how he might have been overlooked in the draft prep.
The one person that we've probably not talked about enough, or maybe you guys have talked about quite a bit, is Marco Wilson, a guy that we traded up in the fourth round to grab him, and maybe was sort of underappreciated through the evaluation process. But he has looked fantastic in camp, in preseason games, practice every day. He lines up against AJ and Hop and Rondale and Kirk, four of the stronger receivers in the National Football League. So he gets challenged every day and has answered every test so far.
Strong endorsement from Steve Keim about Marco Wilson, which is, I hope it works, because there's going to be a lot on Marco Wilson's shoulders this weekend and this season.
I think it's because of the two knee injuries. I mean, Eddie Fowl, it wasn't because of his play or throwing the shoe. I mean, it was knee injuries. You know, he's got size, speed, athleticism. You know, all of those things are pretty clear. You know, and I'm sure he can improve on different things for sure. But I think there's a lot of strengths to his game. It's just the question of the injuries was why he probably fell in the draft. He might have been a higher draft pick if it wasn't for those injuries.
Yeah, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, he was supposed to be gearing up for his return to the field. But now with a new injury to be dealt with, when will we see Dennis Gardeck suit up again? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
You definitely feel the excitement and practice, intensity and focus was really good today. So just got to hydrate, take care of our bodies, and be ready to go.
Cliff Kingsbury from today. It is go time for the Cardinals. They'll get on the plane sometime tomorrow morning, I would imagine, fly to Nashville. And then on Sunday morning, game one of 17 for Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals. And starting on Sunday, we'll get some idea what this season and what this team is going to be all about as they get ready to take on the Tennessee Titans. Of course, we'll have that game here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, on Sunday. And Gambo, you brought this up earlier. Before we talk about Dennis Gardeck, I'm glad you brought this up because it's something that could impact this game. And that is the kicking situation for the Tennessee Titans. They added their kicker, Sam Ficken, to the injury report, suffered a right groin injury and was limited in practice today. They had to add a kicker to the practice squad, Michael Badgley. It's possible if Ficken can't go that they're going to have basically not a rookie by any stretch, but certainly somebody they weren't expecting to be their kicker as their kicker on Sunday, and that if it's going to be a close game, that could dramatically swing the outcome of this game, potentially, for the Titans.
Well, they had a lot of problems with their kicking game last year. I mean, last year was some issues for them. Remember, they had Gostkowski for a little while as their kicker, but they missed a lot of field goals last year. And, you know, that was one of the weaknesses on the team. So a year ago, they bring in Gostkowski, but then he wasn't any good, so they promoted a guy named Sam Sloman from the practice squad for the finale. But they used five kickers last year, in 2019, and they tried to fix that with Gostkowski, and it just didn't work out. 2019, they were 44% on field goals. They were 8 out of 18. So they bring in this new kicker that was pretty good with the Jets. They liked him, and he was doing a good job for them. And all of a sudden, yeah, now you question, if he's going to be able to play or not. He's questionable versus the Cardinals, and that could be a factor in the kicking game because of kickoffs and field goals and stuff like that. So if it's a closer game, that could play a major factor.
Yeah, it certainly could. It's something to keep an eye on. As far as the Cardinals injury report goes, Cliff Kingsbury almost called it a blessing in disguise with linebacker Dennis Gardeck. He hurt his hand this week, and he won't play.
Yeah, he had an injury yesterday, so he won't play this weekend.
Could Dennis possibly miss multiple weeks?
Possibly. Yeah.
All right, so he might be out a few weeks, and in some ways, Cliff says that's not necessarily a bad thing.
He's a bit down, but we're hoping it's not too long. And like we've said all along, we're going to err on the side of caution, and it could be more of a blessing in disguise to really let him get healed up over the next couple of weeks, and then we'll get him back.
Yeah, something I'll be really curious to see, and I know we've talked about this the last couple of days, three protected players from the practice squad that no other team could come and raid from your practice squad are Kylie Fitz and then the two new cornerbacks they brought in Rasul Douglas and Hamilton. I'll be really curious to see, knowing that they need all the bodies they can get at the corner spot, and especially now with Gardeck being out, I'll be really curious to see how many of those guys are going to be active come game day out of those three, knowing they need those bodies.
Yeah, we'll know tomorrow on who gets flexed, and I'll if I find that out, I'll get that on air on my Twitter page, Gambo987. But no decision as of tonight. I'm sure they'll talk it over tonight, tomorrow, and make a decision on whether it's Hamilton or Douglas or both. But I'm sure at least one of those two corners will get flexed. Now, I've heard good things about both guys practicing well and stuff like that, so I haven't heard negative stuff about them. But Hamilton does have more experience on special teams. Douglas is probably more ready to play corner. So it will be interesting to see which one they decide to go with, because they can flex, you know, either one of them, one or both of them, to the roster.
Yeah, make no mistake, when looking at the schedule, given where they're going, who they're playing, what time of year they're going to be there, how hot it's going to be, this is elevated now into one of the toughest road trips they'll have all season long. Certainly, you know, going to San Francisco, going to Seattle, and maybe I need to qualify it by saying outside of their division, this is one of the toughest road games they'll have. But this is going to be a really, really tough test for them on the road. And our perception of the Cardinals and what they're capable of, if they come back with a win against the Titans, it could dramatically change when we're on of the air on Monday at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Time for the Vizzy What's On Tonight, the games that we're going to watch this evening, brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C, proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. There's one college football game involving a top 25 team going on right now. Coastal Carolina, 17th ranked in the country. They're beating Kansas 21-9. And then, of course, the Diamondbacks are on tonight. They're taking on the Mariners, which leads us to this.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Grilled Cheeseburger for a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
Been a real struggle for the Diamondbacks. I mean, all season, but really, especially the last couple of weeks. Wins have been hard to come by. They've lost 10 of their last 11 games. They're in Seattle tonight, taking on a Mariners team that's fighting hard for one of those last wild card spots in the American League. Your pitching matchup for tonight's game, which you'll hear here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, it's brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers, changing lives. Madison Bumgarner versus Marco Gonzalez, the matchup. A pair of lefties on the bump tonight.
Yeah, Bumgarner seemed to be, you know, pitching well enough. I thought that at one point I was like, wow, he might get that. You know, after he beat the Phillies and went eight innings and only gave up one run on August 19th, I was kind of thinking he might get that ERA under four. He had it at 4.06. But the last three starts, he gave up four runs in six innings against Pittsburgh, five in five innings against Philly, and five in six innings against Seattle. So that ERA's back up over 4.5. So, you know, and I asked Torrey Lovello about this the other day. I mean, you're worried about him, you know, down the stretch. Could you not pitch him at all? Could you let him sit the last couple of weeks? Is he throwing too many innings compared to last year? All of that stuff. But no indication that they're going to do anything with him. But he has not fared well in his last three outings, going 17 innings and giving up 14 earned runs in those 17 innings.
Your MLB standings are brought to you by PNC Bank. Financial tools and tech to help make things easier. As I mentioned, the Mariners two games back of the final wild card spot in the American League. For the National League West, the Diamondbacks obviously well out of first place, 45-95. If you look at the overall standings, the Arizona Diamondbacks right now do have the worst record in baseball by a half game over the Baltimore Orioles. So with that, let's get you a key to tonight's game.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs keys to the game, brought to you by Sell to Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to sell2sands.com today.
Well, it's got to be the former Diamondback, Mitch Haniger. We talk so much about former Diamondbacks and how well they're doing, especially Robbie Ray. He's got 30 homers and 76 runs batted in. And he's batting .252. He's been a beast in that lineup for Seattle. I don't see Seth Beer in the lineup. Maybe tomorrow he'll be the DH. But the key to beating Seattle is trying to keep Haniger from knocking in those runs.
Yeah, he's been a very productive former member of the Arizona Diamondbacks with the Seattle Mariners. There's no question about that. That's going to do it for us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We'll have Diamondbacks baseball later tonight. We will see you Monday, straight up 2 o'clock, here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.